Starbane's audio. The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Contact the best authorities. Check on anything that seems to be extraordinary, no matter what it is.
When you see something that's frightening, it looms large in the consciousness.
It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
And we're rolling.
What's up, buddy?
Holy shit, it's the Boogie Monster.
Run.
How are you, my friend?
I'm good, man. I'm as well as to be expected, you know, in these difficult times.
Yeah. It's funny because we just had a conversation about things we won't talk about on the show. And now we have to pretend that we're just starting the show. A little peek behind the curtain, everybody. That's how it goes.
Some stuff is just for us, Kyle.
Here, let's just get out all our hatred and racism and bigotry before the show. And then pretend to be good people when we take the Boogie Monster. Boy, oh boy, I hope those first 10 minutes don't go anywhere.
Oh, you're making us sound like assholes.
Oh, I think we do a pretty good job of making ourselves sound like assholes.
Oh, man. Couple of dickheads. What are you doing, man?
Well, it's Saturday at noon, roughly. Mm-hmm. I'm doing an early one. So I'm just full of coffee. Mm-hmm. Sober, looking at a bag of weed that I keep every time we're like Rachel get like some bedtime weeds to go to bed. I like the indica for nighttime, shut the brain off. But every time I go to the store, I'm like, I turn into like Rodney Dangerfield from Caddyshack. I'm like, one of these, two of these, a box of those. You know, I just, and I don't like, I don't smoke nearly enough of it to justify it. So I just have so much. I'm like, oh, they got Rick Simpson oil up here. I need some of that, which that sounds like not for.
What's that?
It was like my friends in Chicago got it, and they somehow got it from, they would just call it goo. They got goo. You know, come in like a syringe and put a little drop. They put like a drop on a gummy bear and put two gummy bears together. And just now the gummy bear wasn't a weed gummy bear. It was just like that was the way to ingest it. But it was just like a slow burn all day kind of weed.
Oh, okay.
And they got it from like, I think somebody that had cancer or something. It was like strictly medical only. Granted, this was last year. It was before it was legal in Illinois. And I don't know if you can get, but I saw that they had it at the store. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to try it. I haven't tried it yet. I don't know if it's the same thing, but it's like a little drop of it and like all day at maybe 70%. Just a nice, good feeling all day. So that's what I got waiting for me. So maybe after this, maybe on a Saturday afternoon, if I get all my chores done and brush my teeth, we'll have some of that.
It's a perfect time for it. I love a good Saturday afternoon. Saturday day, Saturday afternoon.
Whoa, breaking news. Dave loves a Saturday afternoon.
I do.
Controversial opinion.
Fridays
and Sundays are for suckers.
But back in my working days, when I was working a 9-to-5, how much you really appreciate. I love a low activity Saturday. Just maybe we went out last night. Maybe we're going out tonight. I don't know. But just for now, Saturday afternoon, sitting around the house, you know, just doing nothing. No agenda. I like that.
I'll butcher this metaphor. You can and even that phrase is part of the metaphor. But it's like, what's the best cut of meat, would you say? For a steak, what would you say? Filet?
Oh, that'd be a ribeye.
Saturdays.
I'm a ribeye.
Saturday's like a ribeye. You know? Because, like, you worked on Friday, so Friday night's fun. But Saturday, you know, you just got to sleep in. You know, you get to sleep in tomorrow. Saturday afternoon, best cut of the whole week.
Yeah.
There's no looming next day of having to go to work. Mm-hmm. I early on remember just, you know, when people do those little calculations, like you're going to work 8 hours a day and then you're going to sleep idealistically for 8 hours a day. That's 2/3 of your day is gone. And then you have the other 8 hours. But in that other 8 hours, you have to commute and do your personal chores and all this stuff or save for the weekends. Like, I think that was as much of a push in, like, to get good at comedy or anything, just to be like, there's a better way. There's a different schedule. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be that way. I couldn't. And I know I'm sure I sound like a lazy asshole in my late teens and early 20s, but I'm like, this scheduling is for suckers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's gotta be a better way for this. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. I used to get the legit Sunday evening blues. Like I would go into legit depression, like all day Sunday, just dreading tomorrow.
Dude, and depending on where you live, where you like, you get up and it's miserable. By the time you get out of work, it's already dark in a half hour anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, same thing. And I think that pushed the drive, not only to choose LA over New York for comedy, but to then let's make it work. You want to do 9 to 5? You remember how much you like that? Work harder at comedy. Mm-hmm. Get better at this.
Yep.
Take it seriously. Cause
I can't do this
regular schedule. Everybody else does not make sense. Then my dad got laid off. I remember my dad, a piece of advice that stuck with me, because he worked for airlines, and the airlines were all going under in the 80s and 90, early 90s, and he was getting laid off. And he's like, remember, there's no such thing as corporate or company loyalty. They don't care about you. There's no such thing. No. Maybe back in the day there isn't a thing. They are there to make money, whether you're working for them or not. So don't rely on a job to care for you just because you've been there longer. So I took that one to heart.
I remember one of my best motivators when I was still in Georgia. I've talked about owning my own landscaping company, but I sold it after about 5 years, right at the beginning of comedy. I sold my company, and then I went to work part-time for the guy who bought it. So that was a little weird, but not too bad. He already had a company. He just kind of absorbed mine and then hired me just as a laborer.
Yeah, you had the expertise. Make a few bucks.
Yeah, and it was fine, but it was right when I started comedy, and I did that for another year or two. My first couple years of comedy, I'm doing landscaping, and I remember every Tuesday we had a real specific route. You know, every Monday we do these houses, every Tuesday we do these houses, and so on. But every Tuesday we had this one big yard, and my job was to scrape up the dog shit from the enclosed backyard. it was a huge property, but they had this little half an acre lot in the backyard that was fenced in for the dog. And I had like this little pooper scooper thing, this little, I don't know how to describe it, kind of like one of those picker upper things, the little that old people might use, but it had more of a little scoop contraption at the bottom. Anyway,
a scoop. Yeah.
Anyway, I'd been doing comedy about 2 years, so I was just starting to kind of find my legs and starting to start to realize that I might have a little bit of talent for it, and starting to seriously consider all right, what are the steps I need to do to kind of do this full time and try to segue into doing this professionally. And I just remember every Tuesday, and it would take about an hour, literally just an hour of just shuffling around this backyard. And I am not exaggerating. It was a week's full of dog turds, and they had 2 or 3 dogs. So it was like legitimately 150, 200 dog turds. And so it would take like an hour.
I charged and I by just the remember turd, every not by the pound. That's where I differ from the competitors. Big or small, it's by the pound.
And I just remember every Tuesday spending an hour shuffling around, picking up all that dog shit, thinking, man, I got to get better at comedy. I got to keep working. I got to keep writing. I got to keep getting up, because that was a pretty good motivator of come on, dude, get your, no pun intended, get your shit together. just scooping up dog shit. Oh, man, that was
what
rough.
A great name for that company, though. We get your shit together.
What? Yeah, get your shit together. Oh, man.
Yeah, I looked at all, granted, it's the same. I never saw 8 Mile or whatever, but every story about whatever opposing force, I think that's why I'm glad, like, I never had a job that made me comfortable, because then that was the opposing mm-hmm. force. You yeah. know, because I'm lazy. I would never, if I was getting a good payday, I would not have tried as hard. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad I was yeah. like, nope, you're kind of, do you feel like a loser because you're in your 30s and you're still working a menial job and you want to, like, yeah, okay, cool. Go out tonight. Go to the open mic.
Yeah. And I don't think if you're really trying to pursue comedy or anything other than what you're currently doing, you can't be too comfortable. I remember in Atlanta, we had a nice scene and a tight group of comedians that were out every night. But we had these two guys, and I won't name their names, but two guys were both engineers. I think one was like a civil engineer and one was a mechanical engineer. And they were nice dudes. But I remember one time us sitting at the Laughing Skull, and it was me and Andy Sanford and a bunch of folks. And like somebody from the audience came by and was just making small chit chat. And those two comics were hanging out with us too, and somebody said something about, like, oh, I really respect you guys, you know, like the starving artist thing. Mm-hmm. And both of these guys chimed up like, well, we're not starving artists, we're both engineers. And I'm like, yeah, that's great, it doesn't make you any better at comedy. And that's why both of you guys ironically are the shittiest comics at this table. You know, nothing personal, but because you're comfortable, because you don't have to go out and put everything on the line to try to make a living out of this.
I love you. Like, I'm not gonna name any names, but it was a guy who was a stand-up comedian. He was also a civil engineer. It was 2005 at the Laughing Skull.
Yeah. Atlanta comics know who I'm talking about. But and, you know, nice enough guys, but I just remember they chimed up with such a shit-eating grin, like, oh, we're not starving artists, we do pretty well. And it's like, well, good for you, you still suck at comedy.
Well, that's why it was like a dude like Kumail who, like, oh, you're gonna be fine, because he showed up on the scenes, like, first off, he came from Pakistan to go to college in the States. And then,
yeah, like Iowa,
know, went to, I don't know, somewhere in Iowa for, I think, tech stuff. Right after he graduated, moved to Chicago and worked in his field. So he was working in the thing he studied to work on.
Mm-hmm.
And then started comedy right after September 11th, when everybody, you know, it was, and didn't use... like where he was from or his accent or his culture as punchlines. And every comedian was like, oh, fuck, we got to work harder.
Yeah.
Like, this guy's, and knowing, like, and then at night, like, I have to go, I got to go to work. Like, yeah, but who gives a shit? We all got dumb jobs. Like, no, actually, I have to do this. Like, oh, yeah, no, you should keep your job. You should keep your job.
Yeah.
You understand ambition. You left your family and your entire home country for school, and then that place for this, you are going to, like, anything that guy get, I'm like, good on you, man. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
Well deserved.
Yeah.
But
he's doing all right.
Yeah.
He's hanging in there.
Yeah. I think he'll be fine. I think it'll work out for him.
Mm-hmm.
But I just remember. But then there's the other end too, where it's like, you got to have some responsibility. I remember one buddy. It was a Sunday night show at this place called Coyle's Tippling House. And I remember him saying, I'm like, oh, man, I gotta leave. I gotta go to work tomorrow. He's like, yeah, man, I gotta babysit all day tomorrow. I'm like, they're your kids. It's called fathering. It's not called, it's not babysitting
at that point.
When it's your kids, man. I think you're a little too detached from responsibility, and I know that's a little pot calling the kettle of a terrible father on my part.
Oh, boy.
I'll tell you what.
Speaking of comics. More comics in the news. Hear about that story?
Hmm.
More bad behavior.
Oh.
From mediocre comics. Brian Callen got accused of rape. That's not good.
No. And I mean, boy, that's going to look bad. I don't know. Any clips?
That's going to leave a mark.
Again, not a guy I know personally, but any clips of someone wearing sunglasses inside? I don't trust them.
Well, that might have been because he had cosmetic work done, Kyle.
Really?
I'll go ahead and judge. Dude's getting cosmetic surgery. Fuck off. I'm sorry. Says the morbidly obese guy who doesn't care about what he looks like. But I don't know, man. That always just...
if you get it and you own it, I can't get angry at anybody.
But yeah.
I want to start where I saw that. I saw somebody saying like, "Oh, you should wear eye protection because of this COVID thing." I'm like, I've been looking for an excuse to wear like the yellow glasses all the time.
Oh yeah, the what do they call those?
Like
the something blockers.
Well, there's blue blockers, but do you remember? Like I wear the yellow lens ones when I'm bike riding when it's like cloudy or anything, or I'm in trees because you still need eye protection from branches. But I don't want to wear sunglasses, and they do. Mm-hmm. Man, the yellow lenses they crisp things up.
Yeah,
like the shooting glasses or whatever. Yeah, I'll probably look like a douchebag. So what should I say about it? But yeah, he outed for scumbag
behavior. What's going on? Jesus, fellas, enough. Take it easy. Like, I don't know. I understand we're in the height of cancel culture and all that, and you know, you can say what you will about cancel culture, but did you act like a shithead or did you act like a criminal and a rapist? Like, I don't know. I'm not throwing him under the bus, but I'm just saying, Jesus Christ.
No, maybe the LA Times article threw
seems
him
like
under
every,
the bus.
Every week.
I think reporting threw him under the bus. I think his actions threw himself under the bus. I think he threw himself under the bus.
Yeah.
By being
apparently
a bad person. So,
but
I don't know.
And I've said it before. It's not that hard not to be a huge scumbag, fellas.
Yeah, what we were talking before, I don't know. I always got more of a Hollywood vibe than a comic vibe from him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a difference. There's like, oh, you're a famous person. You're not a stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be famous or
yeah, you can always
successful.
Tell. You can always tell where people's priorities are.
Successful, but without the, like... I'm not trying to talk shit on TV, but there's a lot of a lot of comics like, oh, you want to be famous, you do things to be famous and to be known, but it's
of course,
not, I don't think you're trying to be a good comedian.
No, there's a ton of people like that, ton of
you're
comics
a celebrity, but you're not a good comedian.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't call them comedians. I would call them celebrities that happen to. You're like Michael Jordan playing baseball.
Yeah.
Like, you're not, I mean, people are here to see it, but it's not great. He wasn't good at baseball, right?
Did I tell you? No. Well, he was okay.
Then it still sticks. But it still sticks. You're there because you are, not because of what you are.
He was not the Michael Jordan of baseball, put it that way.
No.
did I ever tell you my Brian Callen story? We shared a comedy condo together. We worked together about 10 years ago in Knoxville, playing a real shithole club up there that's now gone under.
I think I played that. You're talking about Side Splitters?
Side Splitters fucking sucked.
I think I played there. I think I did one night there. And I remember who's the guy? Not that I can complain, but I can't complain. What's the Tom?
The owner?
No, comic.
Oh, the I can't complain guy?
You know me.
I don't know who that would be.
He was like the limousine driver
Dom Irrera.
Dom Irrera. And I remember because I was doing the Wednesday night just to get like a run started, and there was no other place. At the time, the agent I had, it was the only place in Knoxville. And I was I was there, and Dom Irrera was there like a night early, just in sweatpants, eating like went to the club for dinner, and it's not like a club that had a good kitchen, it's like all microwave deep fryer stuff, and just eating a sad Wednesday night dinner before his weekend there, and it was one of those images you see like, I don't want to become that man. Not that I don't. He could have been having a great time. He could have known the guy. He could be from. I don't know. But I was like, this just looks like such a bummer. Anyway, sorry to cut you off. That's my story about that club.
Yeah, we shared a comedy condo for 4 days. It was a Thursday through Sunday, and I get there Thursday. I get into the condo first, and I'm getting situated. And about an hour later, he shows up, and you know, nice enough guy. You know, making small talk and all that. And then a couple hours before the first show on Thursday afternoon, I get a kidney stone attack. And kidney stones lasted all week. I did all my shows. I was just hopped up on pain pills during the shows, and then during the day, just laying around moaning. Like, we've talked about that before, but like, you get a full on kidney stone attack, it sucks. And it was just so awkward hanging out with this dude who I just met, and just like every few hours throughout the weekend, he's just like, "Are you sure you're okay?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm just trying to pass it." But and he was nice enough back then, but he went full bore in like fat shaming me. He was just like, "Look, man, I'm not trying to judge, but you're clearly not too concerned with your diet, and that's probably why you got these kidney stones. You got to eat more of this and less of this." And I remember, like, I was in so much pain and so annoyed, I snapped on him. I just said, "Look, now's not the time, dude. I don't need this from you right now," or something. But yeah, that was the extent of our bonding over the 4 days of me moaning and him judging. And yeah, dude, didn't try any funny business with me. But I will say, like, not piling on, but he had that vibe of just, you know, that intangible, just douchebag vibe. Yeah, I can't put my finger on it, but just that vibes. That you meet those people and you're just like, we would never hang out in any other context.
Yeah, I've seen the guy backstage, never hung out with him. Seemed like a showbiz type. That does not imply that he is or isn't what these accusations are. But the mm-hmm. LA Times article made it a pretty damning case against the fella. So I want to ask, when you got kidney stones, did it just come on right away, or did you start feeling like a pain in your side? Because I got a little dull ache right in the kidney area.
I've had them about 5 or 6 times, and they always start the same. It's a fairly quick, it's not immediate, but it goes from 0 to 100 in about 15 minutes. Okay. It's a slow build over 15 minutes.
5 or 6 and, times.
I can always feel it coming on. Yeah.
Thank God you've probably changed your lifestyle.
Yeah,
I can keep track.
Yeah, exactly.
Side splitters looks like in 2014 it was under new management, and that management was Steve Hofstetter, and I'll just leave that there.
Oh, there you go. Shocking.
I'll just leave that there. Mm-hmm. There you go. Oh. Anyway, yeah, I don't know about that. I'll tell you what happened to me. So I said my piece about the mail, the post office, through personal experience.
Okay.
They weren't great. I was talking about me as a patron of the post office. Never had a really exceptional experience with them. And somebody had written to me saying, "Listen, this is what the ins and outs of the job are right now. And what we'll talk about eventually is that the head of the post office, the postmaster, is that, can we not say that anymore? I don't know."
Yeah, that's odd.
Postmaster General, is that a thing? Anyway, mm-hmm. head of the post office, who Trump appointed because he is a big donor to the Trump campaign, and a lot of people think that's a strategic move to now undermine the efforts to vote by mail for the presidential election. Now, that is a whole conspiracy that I believe is true, because Trump's obviously a fucking just a greasy turd dangling out of the ass of another greasy turd. I'm out of metaphors, and you know, and I do look on the Reddit, and when people, Jesus, sound older, Kyle. I do look on the Reddit.
No,
I do watch Reddit. What's going on over there? Rumble?
Oh, sorry, buddy. Oh, we're good.
Okay. I thought it was a rumble.
I scared Katie. I startled
what'd
her.
What'd you do?
Yeah, she's okay.
Okay. Tackle her to the ground.
I was trying to get my internet went down. I was trying to get her attention to fix the internet without distracting from your story, and I scared the shit out of her.
Bam! Fix the Wi-Fi.
Anyway, carry on.
Anyway, that's a whole thing that I believe is probably true. And yes, the post office provides that service. And somebody wrote me a letter. Somebody on the Boogie Monster subreddit is like, I don't know, they don't really talk about Trump too much or something. I'm like, I think we talk about it enough, because do you need to hear more people say he's a piece of shit? Fine, he's a piece of shit. I don't want anybody who thinks Trump's a good idea for president to like my comedy or be anything related to me. I want to know what I am saying to attract someone who thinks that's a good choice for president.
Yeah.
Either way, that we'll talk about the post office thing. I think my mailman saw me naked the other day, and so that
really,
yeah, that's more of a direct. I'm not used to just living on the ground floor. LA apartments.
Yeah, you got to get used to that.
Floor. Yeah, and just a lot of windows and just people walking around. And then I was in the garage where the washer dryer is. And we just got back from camping, and I was putting the laundry in. I'm like, all right, final step. I'm wearing my dirty camp clothes. I'll just I'll shimmy out of these real quick and toss them in the garage. Garage door's closed, but the garage door's got windows on it. And I saw the mail truck out there, and I'm like, well, he could be up and down anywhere in this neighborhood. It's going to take me 10 seconds to do this. Of course, in that 10-second window. Here he comes cruising up the driveway, and I'm just butt naked standing there in front of the dryer or the washing machine. And like I just kind of like crouched down. I should have just stayed still like a squirrel. Like maybe if I'm frozen, they won't notice me. But the movement probably made him worse. But then the next day, which would have been, I think, yesterday, I'm out there watering the lawn, as you do in the suburbs now. And I've got like, you know, I got some silly, more outfit, costumey type things, but I happen to be wearing cutoff shorts and a mesh tank top.
Nice.
Camo Crocs, full force, but cutoff shorts and a mesh tank top, looking full on like I'm cosplaying Philip Seymour, Hoffman's character from Boogie Nights. Just full bore Corona gut in a mesh red tank top.
Oh man.
And then I'm out there with the hose watering the lawn, and the same mailman comes cruising up, and I'm like,
Oh, well, man.
Couldn't have picked a better outfit now. Like, I'm just trying to trap this fella. And I'm
did he give you any
he
look?
He comes like, by, and I'm like, gosh, buddy? I'm spraying the exact part of like the lawn and sidewalk where he's got to walk. I'm like, oh, shit, man, I'll stop. He's like, okay. And then he went around. He's like, oh, it's not like it's going to hurt me. And he had one piece of mail. He gave it to me. He's like, so how's L.A., man? Like, or was this weather compared to L.A.? I'm like, oh, this guy, how does he know? I'm like, well, because it's the mail. It's being forwarded.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, oh, you know, it's really hot, but there's grass. He's like, oh, it's just, it'll be dormant. It'll come back. But then Rachel's like, I think he knows who you are. He was extra nice to me. I'm like, oh, great. So that guy, that's a listener. Sorry. Or you're welcome. I don't know. whatever your thoughts were about it. So that's my apology to this particular mailman. The rest of the post office could still have done a better job leading up to this plea for public support. I get that we need them and everything, but I'll be honest. My experience with the post office has not been great.
I was reading an article today about the post office. Did you know that they lost like $4 billion in the first quarter of this year? What's going on? $4.5 billion loss.
Was $390 billion of it just money that was in envelopes that they were supposed to deliver? Because that's how I could see them losing that money.
I mean, not losing. I mean, as a business.
No, I know. That was why I was making a joke.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, sorry.
Why
that would be funny if they literally lost billions of dollars worth of birthday checks.
Did somebody just have a, that's how much money people tried to mail. Yeah, that's how many $7 checks from grandmothers to their grandsons were mailed that were lost.
Yeah, man, what's going on as a business model that you're losing $4 billion a quarter? I mean, what are they just stamps not expensive enough? I don't understand.
Well, I don't know how and this is where, I plead ignorance. I don't know how much is it that Everybody's getting Amazon's trying to take up more of their own deliveries. Add that to my little list of things I was trying to avoid that I went on my little rant about. Fuck Trump. Try to avoid single-use plastics. Try to avoid shit made in China. It's hard to do now. And it's not like... they're using slave labor, man. It's in other places. Mm-hmm. I'm sure other places are probably bad that I haven't researched. But China's like that's what's getting a light shown on it right now. And so I'm like, all right, you know what? If I don't have to buy it there from there, then I'll try to. But and Amazon, I haven't bought anything from Amazon since the beginning of all this.
Good for you. That's hard to do.
Well, you find the thing you like and then see if they have a website of their own. And then you go to that website, and then maybe they use the post. Maybe they use postage or go on eBay or something. Like, I'm just, I don't know, man. You try to do the right thing, but then you go down a wormhole of researching to do the right thing, and you find out you're actually doing a worse thing by trying to do the right thing. It's not, it'd be easier if you just didn't give a shit, you know, Dave?
Oh, dude, tell me about it. Speaking of China, you hear about these seeds? Speaking of China and the mail, look at this. Look at that connecting two of the dots there.
Yeah.
People receiving packages from China that contain unmarked seeds. And this has happened, I believe... in the article I read this morning, pretty much all 50 states and, of course, other parts of the world, too. But almost every state in America, people are receiving these weird packages with a Chinese address of seeds that that no one ordered.
Yeah.
And everybody's freaking out about
it. I read like the one theory is that's like it's just a scam that they'll send them. Like they just hacked somebody's address and they send it like it's supposed to be jewelry. So then. Somehow they can put like a fake positive review.
Yeah, I guess they call that a brushing scam.
Yeah, but seeds is pretty sinister. Seeds just seems like.
Yes, I feel like the scam angle is a decoy or, you know, red herring or something. I feel like that's what they want you to think. Oh, it's just a scam. But like, yeah, something about it being seeds. Like biological warfare, agricultural warfare. I don't even know how that works, but it seems like something China could figure out.
I think it's like one of them little Shop of Horrors plants that they figured out.
That thing scared the shit out of me when I saw that for the first time as a kid.
Really? Right, yeah. Well, I mean, because I'm like, stop calling it the Chinese virus. That's racist. It wasn't made in a lab. But then we're like, oh, man, these fucking seeds that they're going to give us. Somebody's going to grow these plants, and it's going to unleash demons.
Well, what could it be? And I don't know enough about, you know, biological warfare or anything, agriculture, but like what... what could be a plausible, sinister explanation? Are they, you know, invasive species of plant? Like, what would that do? Like, is it going to poison our existing crops if it gets in the soil? What could it possibly be if we're talking conspiracy theory, sinister intent?
That, like, yeah, like the, yeah, invasive species, like the, what is it, the cane toads in Australia? You ever see that documentary?
I don't know.
It was,
I don't know about that.
It was, I don't know if it was brought, again, all I remember of this documentary, all my facts are going to be wrong. It was just like one guy going like, I hate him. And it just showed him on the road, and the guy was just speeding down a highway, just running over as many as he could.
Really?
Yeah, just like, wet hot pockets, just blah, 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 just popping open on the highway. This guy, like, I hate him. And it was somebody, I don't know if they brought him over to, like, combat some insect thing or if they were brought over accidentally. But, they just, you know, went nuts and took it over, like, kudzu, the plant kudzu.
I was just about to say, kudzu, that came from China or somewhere, right? Didn't that come from Asia?
I don't know where it came. I just know it was just a plant that then went up.
Everywhere in the South.
With all the science that we have, we don't have somebody who could just look at a seed under a microscope and be like, oh, yeah, it's this.
Yeah. Well, no, they figured out what some of the seeds are. They've identified some of them.
Oh, they did.
Some of them have been pretty, yeah, a few batches have been identified. Rosemary and a few other just innocuous
it's rosemary?
Seeds. Yeah, some of it's rosemary. But here's the thing. It's not like these are all coming from the same source. There's just dozens and dozens of different people have received these that are different packaging, different address. You know, it's not like this one company is sending out little packets of seeds. Like they're different, different packaging, different addresses, everything. So that's what's got people confused. It's like, why so many different ones? It'd be different if just one company was sending out samples or a scam or something. But the fact that there's such a variety of seeds and packages has got people concerned.
I'll ask you this. Have you ever seen rosemary in Chinese food?
I don't think I have.
What's up with that?
What? Oh, God.
What's going on with that, huh?
What's up with
it's
that,
going
man?
Down. It's all going down. Yeah.
Let's see here. I got some. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has identified 14 different species of seeds within the mysterious packets. People started receiving them early July. This guy named Osama L. Lizzie, he's the deputy administrator of the USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service. He said that, yeah, they got 14 different species, including hibiscus, rosemary, mint, and sage. So, yeah, that's pretty harmless, it seems. All 50 states have issued warnings.
They think they're poisoning us, and we're just like, oh, thanks for the seasonings. Thanks for the herbs and spices. We used to, people used to dominate entire cultures just looking for spices. Now they're just mailing it out for free.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know, man. This could be a non-story or it could be. It just seems weird. Like, that seems like a creative way to do some damage is seeds and plants and agriculture. Just, I don't know. It could be completely benign, but who knows?
It is.
Only time will tell.
It is. How would you do it, Dave? What was your, I mean, look, everybody's focused on, I like the old school nature. I like the analog nature that they're telling, mm-hmm. like is a weird word to say,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, it's yeah. all hacking, computer virus. Yep. And then somebody's like, we use the mail and we send them seeds. Everybody's got their face. Yeah. They think we're using TikTok to steal their information.
Uh-huh.
These are just plants that have cameras in them. That's what it is. They develop. It's all tiny camera.
Yeah, I appreciate the 4-H nature of this attempt. It's got a real county fair vibe to it.
Dude, they're going to train like the most adorable dogs are going to be the ones that are spies.
Hmm.
That's what animals collecting information. They're going to put microphones inside the cats.
Well, you've heard about the theory that the CIA is using robotic pigeons to spy on us.
I don't think they use dolphins. Did they use?
Oh, really? How
there
so?
Was something. I thought they were using dolphins. Hold on. I'm just going to Google dolphin spies and see what comes up.
Dolphin. That sounds like a terrible straight to DVD movie.
They were Ukrainian combat dolphins. This is from National Geographic. The Ukrainian combat dolphins, based in Sevastopol, were trained to search for and tag underwater mines or unwanted swimmers attempting to access restricted waterways. This is RIA Novosti. Man, using dolphins to detect mines. Jesus. Yeah, I guess rumors that dolphins had been trained to kill divers have been denied by the U.S. Navy, which claims that training dolphins to fight or kill humans is impossible. Say that to me when I'm watching a video of your fighter pilots chasing a UFO around the air. Then, mm-hmm. oh, it was UFO. Now, I don't know, man. I think Dolphins, I think they could do that with Dolphins. So, yeah, I'm going to put that one on there.
Yeah. What's that fact or myth about dolphins? Are dolphins the only other species other than humans that have sex for pleasure? Is that correct? You hear that?
I know they're aggressive. I know there's all those stories that you can be assaulted by a dolphin.
But if that fact is correct,
only if the dolphins are you telling me that side splitters in Knoxville though? Same week.
So no other animals just bang because they feel like it. It's all biological. It's all I got to procreate.
How do they know that?
Exactly. I don't think they do.
I mean, animals beat off.
Animals beat off?
Yeah. Monkeys jerk off and dogs will lick their boners.
You think they're really jerking off, or is it like, oh, this weird part of my body itches? Or do you think he's like, he knows what his mission is? Do you
think? Yeah, I'm going to use that one. Ah, it itches real bad.
Yeah.
The only way to heal it is to get the calamine lotion out. Nah, never mind. Never mind. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about that joke. Forget that joke.
Get this goo.
Edit that joke.
Get this goo out of me.
Get out the poison.
Get out of here.
Well, that's something we could look into for, you know, another well-researched episode of the Boogie Monster is the horny spy dolphins of the U.S. Navy. Maybe that's why they couldn't train them to be spies. They're just horny and they get distracted.
Yeah. All horned up.
You know, it's like trying to train a 12-year-old. Like, remember being just going through puberty and trying to be in school? Like, I'm not going to remember any of what you're telling me right now.
Mm-hmm.
Losing my fucking mind. And I need to just be put in the woods for the next 3 years. It's the safest thing just to happen. Yeah.
Just a cage out in the backyard.
Just something. Oh, man. Well, anyway. So what do we got to talk about? The seeds. We're worried about the seeds.
Got the seeds. This isn't really boogie related, but
none of this is.
You had mentioned this off the air that what's I don't know enough about it. What the fuck's going on with Trump and the mail-in voting? What's he so worried about? Is this not the same party that has been accused of voter suppression for decades? Like, what are they worried about? The mail-in voting?
Well, they haven't figured out. And they haven't figured out how to rig the election yet.
Here's my other question. If Trump were, let's say hypothetically, if Trump were leading in the polls right now, if he had a huge lead in the polls, would he give a shit about this? Like, it's just something seems fishy that he's just so convinced that there's going to be fraud. Like, the Republican Party has actively tried to suppress voting for years. I mean, recently, I don't know all the details. I never do. I don't know the facts. But recently, in a couple of weeks ago or months ago in Louisville, did you hear that story? Or in Kentucky, there's some place where like 630,000 citizens had one polling place. 630,000 people got one place to go vote. Like, that's voter suppression.
It's, you know, we're seeing the outrage in some places. Obviously, Portland, like where they're saying, oh, once the federal troops left, everything was peaceful. No shit.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
When does the outrage meet the masses even more? You know, when will it be enough? That's what I'm curious about. When will him being like, no, I'm just going to say I'm president again. Like, when, you know, all the, like we said before, all your militias that are about a tyrannical government, we're in the midst of it. We're in it now. But it's tyranny for their side. So it's not it's not tyranny because they agree with the tyranny. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
If it's tried to happen the other way around, you know, if it was a Democrat doing the same shit, I would think Democrats wouldn't stand for it, would also be like, well, actually, this is incorrect and this is not constitutional.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Did you figure out anything more about Portugal?
It's just odd.
Got any information you want to share?
It's just bizarre that he's so worried about this. Like, I don't understand.
It's, he just wants to win. It's not about right and wrong. It's about winning. And it doesn't matter if you cheated. It's about winning. I don't know a lot about baseball, but I'm watching, like, who got suspended for 8 games for trying to hit the Astros guy.
Oh yeah, the pitcher for the Dodgers, and I saw that and I loved it. He made faces at him like me.
Yeah,
when the guy was complaining.
Well, and everybody, like even other players, everybody was like, "No, fuck your team, fuck the, you cheated," and they didn't take the title away from him.
No,
exactly. So what's that title worth? If you won it based on cheating, why is that? It shouldn't count. But some people don't care. They don't care. We'll go back to the celebrity thing. People get laughs on stage, and they don't care how they got them. They don't care about being a good comedian. They just want to win. Yeah. Oh, this guy killed. Yeah, but the comedy was garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they killed. I don't give a shit. I'd rather watch a comedian I respect bomb than a comedian that just churns out fucking Big Mac after Big Mac. Yeah, it's popular. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean it's good, and it doesn't mean it's. But again, then on the other side, you have the people that are like, well, just because it's the law doesn't mean it's right, which is usually reserved for when the law is wildly incorrect and about prejudices. And we're seeing this with police behavior about how the right thing isn't necessarily the legal thing. And somebody's going to say that about Trump stealing the presidency.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's doing it with the fucking QAnon dipshits sneezing on shit at Walmart are going to be like, well, he needs to stay in there for the safety of America, the preservation of America. So he had to, because the Democrats, these communists were going to come in. So he had to take the pres. Like, there will be somebody to defend it.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And I don't want to go down the dark, dark rabbit hole of, like, this really feels like the capsizing of the country.
Of course.
It feels like that. I hope it's not. I hope it's like I've said before, Biden just comes in there and it's like a substitute teacher, just fucking put on a movie and don't do shit. Just let everybody have 4 years to just breathe and take it easy.
Mm-hmm.
Just leave everything, just to see the news. And the news is like, oh, this dog survived a hot air balloon ride by himself. That's what I want. That's what I want.
Oh.
These armed dolphin spies are too horny. They've chosen love over war. That's the news story I want. Not just like how many stories of Trump, like he did this and he did that and he did this and he did that. If he was a fucking animal, you would have put him down by now.
Yeah. Well, I still don't know how anybody can defend him at this point. I've said this before. I'm not going to blame people for voting for him 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. If it was, you know, based on economic stuff. Oh, Hillary's going to shut down the coal mines and my farm's going to go under, so I'm going to vote for Trump. 3.5 years later, after dozens or hundreds of just dipshit fucking incidents, you're just still loyal to this fucking just, God, what a, it's embarrassing. It's just embarrassing.
Dave,
like this is who we voted for. This is our guy.
Don't you realize that Corona is a global conspiracy just to undermine Trump?
Mm-hmm.
Just as like people are flat earthers and that's ridiculous, I think Americans don't think other countries exist.
Oh, of course.
I think there's a tunnel vision. Now, there's nothing wrong. Like, yeah, let's focus on making this place great. But there's also nothing nothing wrong with learning from examples from other people. That's how you learn. Yeah. Somebody else went out and did the thing and came back with some experience and decided to pass on that experience to you in the form of knowledge instead of you having the person like, let's look around the globe how some of this was handled and maybe take some pointers or maybe look at some places that didn't do it so well. But to be like, no, this whole thing's a hoax and it's a hoax just to undermine this I mean, some people are smart and just can't articulate it, but that's not this either. You want to talk about something else? You want to talk about baseball? I don't even like that my time and energy would be spent being mad about it because I feel like that's theft. That's theft of my own energy in this world to give it to there, to give it to that, being angry about it, which I've said, like, I gave... went ahead and gave my Twitter password back up. I was using it to interact and promote for the album. My Instagram is just animals and bike shit. So that's all it's on there. I go to Reddit, but Reddit's like, as soon as like you start getting like, oh man, this is a wormhole. You could just go to like cat pictures and shit. Just change gears, just change a hard shift. And that's good.
Well, before we abandon the Trump hoax thing real quick, and I'm not going to be one of these people that celebrates someone's death, but Herman Cain died this week of COVID-19. Herman Cain has gone on record saying that I don't know if he actually said it's a hoax, but he attended that Tulsa rally a month ago and gloated that this is going to be a mask free zone. We're fed up. You don't have to wear a mask here. And, you know, I'm sad the guy's dead. I'm not going to, you know,
I'm not sad.
Stoop that low. It's still a human life, whether I agree with him or not. Yeah. But just the irony, like, OK, other anti-maskers, is Herman Cain's death a hoax? Is all these other anti-maskers I mentioned last week, some idiot state senator from Arkansas who's, oh, it's a hoax. Is it? He got it. He got COVID. He's not dead yet. But like, I just don't know how you can just still, after all of this evidence, just be like, oh, this is bullshit. It's a hoax.
It's at this point, it's like cult. It's cult level behaviors. Ooh, that's, oh, I was Leah Remini. And another fella, they had the show about Scientology, and now it's a podcast. I was listening to that. I like her because she's still got, like, that same accent from King of Queens. Like, that's who she's like, this fucking shit pisses me off. And I just like to think of that accent, but also, like, being in Scientology, like, a Scientologist for so long. Like, these fucking Thetans are on my bones, and I want them off, so give me the two levers to hold on to. I want to tell them to go screw. You know, like, screaming about that, but also believing that whatever the Zorlak God came from the center of the earth. I don't know what they believe in, but cult-like behavior, blind belief in a thing, just, you know, using tactics to gaslighting or whatever to, you know, deny that any facts could intrude on what your beliefs are. Earth. God forbid, my fucking, I got a buddy who's still, his thing's like, well, listen, I don't agree. I think his mouth gets him in trouble. Like, talking about Trump, like, his mouth gets him in trouble, but I respect the office. I'm like, cool. How many times did you say that while Trump, or when Obama was in there? And also, I'm not going to respect the office. It's not like, because you got the job, now I respect you by default. That's not how that shit works. You need to respect the office because that's your job. And you're not. You're not. There's no constitution anymore. There's no this shit. You're wiping your feet on everything. There's no, oh, I respect it. It's like some phrase that I've heard other people say, like, well, I respect the office. So it's like, I'm going to do what they say. Like, oh, all of a sudden we're bowing to authority just because it's authority. And these are the same people that are like, for the longest time too, we're like, oh man, fuck cops, fuck these people, fuck the judge, fuck that. Now we're all pro cop, pro Trump. Like, I don't get it, man. I don't know where all this came from. And I'm seeing the merge that I see is it's because, like, the cops and these kind of like other people, unsavory cops, like oh, we use a cop. I'm not getting my point across, Dave. Maybe you could say that, like, because a lot of cops acted like criminals and how they could skirt the law because of being police officers, and then maybe their friend group were also people. Like, I sat there and, you know, smoked pot with police officers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's illegal. Back, this was when it was illegal. Mm-hmm. But then it's like, don't worry about it. You know, I'm a cop. You know, like, they wouldn't say that, but it's like, oh, I guess this is okay right now. So you're not really being a good cop. You're going to go arrest somebody for this tomorrow?
Yeah, I was just about to say that. That's fine as long as they don't arrest anybody for the same thing.
Yeah, well, like you were saying, you didn't do that. But like,
yeah, never did.
But it was the people that are like, now we defend all cops. Like, no, you defend cops because your friends do this job that are bad at the job. And I'm not articulate. I'm talking and I'm not saying anything. Don't worry about me.
That's all right, buddy. I understand.
I get angry, but I get all tied up thinking about the point I want to make, and it doesn't come out the right way.
Let's segue into something a little more important. And this is something that I am ashamed to admit that I have neglected for a few months now.
Did you burn more ribs?
And I've known about it. No, I didn't burn any ribs this week. Oh, by the way, I made some cornmeal pancakes. Blow your fucking mind. Oh, but I don't even give a shit about pancakes, but I made some pancakes. I used cornmeal. Yeah, a little cornmeal to it. Makes it a little lighter, little more rustic. Oh, boy, good stuff. Anyway, the thing I finally got around to addressing this week in my own life, and it's something I've neglected, and I'm not proud of it, but I finally, after a few months on the market, tried Wendy's breakfast.
I didn't even know that was out.
Oh, boy. Yeah, Wendy's has breakfast, and let me tell you, it ain't bad. I went with the honey butter chicken biscuit, which was fantastic. Not the best I've ever had, but real solid. And I also just went with a straight up sausage biscuit. And they do the thing that they do with their beef and the burgers. It's a square sausage patty. I like that. That was fun. Solid. Solid chicken biscuit, solid sausage biscuit. Highly recommend if you're in a market that has Wendy's breakfast to give them a try. This is an unpaid endorsement.
I told you.
Wendy's is solid, man. They're solid.
That's where I want to talk about. Did we talk about we talked about the 3D printed nuggets, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, which I still don't understand.
Listen, has you not understanding something stopped you from eating it?
Mm-hmm. No, not at all. Not at all. But yeah, highly recommend Wendy's breakfast. Big fan.
Okay.
Big fan. Wendy's, they're killing the game right now, man. They got the barbecue burger, real solid. You know, if you're in the mood, the salads aren't bad. I will say this. I know you used to be a fan.
If you're in the mood, salads aren't bad. What a throwaway.
I know you used to be a fan of
that. What a throwaway to try and get to everybody to make sure you got enough of a fan base. I mean, if you're in the mood, salads aren't bad.
Yeah. If you're one of those weird people that like lettuce.
Welcome to the Playboy Mansion. If you're in the mood, you know, you can go beat off in the corner by yourself. I don't know if that's your thing.
I will say this. One of the weaker things on the menu is one of the things that many people enjoy, and you even included this in a great bit of yours, but those spicy nuggets.
It's a dollar add-on. Yeah. I told you that was the
You know what I think?
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, what turned me off one of the last times I ate Wendy's was eating the weird the chicken sandwich, and then...
Mm-hmm.
It didn't seem real chicken. I told you about that. It was like such a big chicken breast, but it was too consistent. Mm. There was no variation in the texture for me to like. It felt like it was like imitation crab, you know, which I love. I'll go on the record for that. Love me some fake crab.
Yeah,
crab with a K.
Give I do like me. That.
Hot dogs of the sea.
I think my problem with the nuggets is it's more of the shake and bake style breading just the crumbly breading, which that never does it for me. You want deep. Give me a nice batter, you know, give me a traditional flour dredge, but the whole shake and bake breadcrumb bullshit just never did it for me. So I think if there's a flaw in Wendy's menu, I think it's their chicken stuff. Even though I know a lot of people love that spicy chicken sandwich, still it's. But the burgers solid and the breakfast pretty damn good. So that's my report. That's my review of Wendy's breakfast. So check that shit out.
We did camp food. We did a little marinated. We did shrimp marinated in this honey Aleppo pepper sauce.
What's Aleppo?
It's like a pepper from the Middle East.
Oh, okay.
It's good stuff. It's good stuff.
Yeah, we talked about that off air, but we haven't mentioned it. Where you went camping?
Yeah, we went up to just a lake. Where? A lake like an hour and a half. Well, a lake right near Mount Hood up here. Beautiful. Small lake.
Crater Lake?
No, we're actually going to go check out Crater Lake in a few days.
Okay.
But
because I've been there. I spent a few days out that way.
We're going up there next week. Yeah, but this was just, no, it was a little tiny lake. I mean, someone in a slightly better shape than me could probably swim across it.
Okay.
But everybody just get no power boats on it, just like paddle boards and kayaks and shit. And it was nice.
Man. Nice.
It was real nice. Just go out there, float around. This might turn into a bit, but man, I was out and somebody was like, I think about how you realize like what kind of asshole you were in your past, or hopefully you realize it. And you use it to correct your ways or realize that maybe everybody's like that a little bit, but you mature. And I was always like the loud music guy. I was always like, oh, man, you know what the problem? You know why everybody at this gas station looks bummed out? Not enough fucking lag wagon, dudes. And then I'd be the shithead with the radio on at this gas station. Now I go, I'm like, oh, people who like loud music rarely, if ever, like good music.
Absolutely. I've never heard good music blasting from a car stereo cruising through the parking lot.
And for camping, I mean, this just reiterates why I like to like backpack, and I'm not good at, but just to get by myself or be around the more crunchy granola hippie. People are there to appreciate the outdoors, not to just crush a 30 rack of Bud Light and then, like, hey, man, you guys all like Linkin Park? Well, doesn't matter. Up to 10. And so there was a few of those people on the other side of the lake just playing loud music because I think they're like, you know what? This whole lake probably wants to rock tonight. And nobody did. But then it finally went off. And then I was out. We had a canoe. And I was out at night on it and just paddling around by myself. And I'm like going by their side of the lake where the campsite is. And it's now they're not blaring music at this point, but they're listening to or maybe watching on a computer or something, a Bill Burr special, still loud enough for everybody to hear, but watching the censored version of Bill Burr.
That's an odd choice for camping entertainment.
Well, just not being able to like unplug. Which is, to me, kind of the point. A little campsite music, I get it. But God, man, just talking earlier, like, I hope I never have those fans. Mm. Like, in the censored version, you fucking idiots have been playing garbage pop metal for 2.5 hours. And you can't even splurge for the uncensored version of a Bill Burr special. It's 11 o'clock at night, and I got to hear bleeps in the middle of a bit. Like, the problem with going to a lake is you have to deal with lake people, which is just wet trash. It's wet trash. It's people who have more than once spray painted camouflage on some sort of vehicle, whether it be a jet ski or a dune buggy. Ugh! It was just like, you fucking losers.
we had a lot of that in the town I grew up in. Grew up in Canton, Georgia, and on the outskirts of town is Lake Allatoona, which is where they filmed a lot of Ozark. And it's just a different aquatic rednecks. It's a different breed. I never could put my finger on it, but you could always tell who lived out by the lake. You could just they just carried themselves differently. It's like, you spend a lot of time on the lake, don't you? And I'm not knocking everybody who enjoys the recreation of a lake, but there is a special breed, especially in the South, of just that that aquatic white trash.
Yeah, like, and I like being there too.
Yeah, I do too.
But man, what is it about that attitude? But again, I had that attitude when I like, man, you guys all should like my music because I like good music. Oh, I did not. I liked my music, but it doesn't mean it was good music.
Yeah. But no, there's definitely a direct correlation between stupid people and loud people. Anybody making a lot of noise in public's probably an idiot. Just shut the fuck up. Shut up.
Go to Trump's Twitter account.
Oh, no thanks.
It's I'm not gonna waste any more energy on that. He does say he wants to ban TikTok, which I'm sure his reasons are petty, but I don't disagree with that. What a horrible app for shallow people. That's just a piece of spyware.
Yeah, I'm not on TikTok. I did see this article.
I had it.
Twitter thinks
deleted it from my phone.
Do you know who Sarah Cooper is?
No.
I think she's a New York-based comic or improv actress. She's fine, but she's gone viral on TikTok for lip syncing Trump. She does these videos where she takes existing Trump audio and which it's fine, and I'm not going to knock her, and you know, hey, good for any comic that can figure out a way to get some attention, but man, this thing's gone huge. Well, by the way, this article, Twitter thinks Sarah Cooper's Trump TikToks are why he wants to ban the app. So I don't know. I would like to think that it's something more significant than that. But no,
it's Sarah Cooper. Probably not. It's probably
blown up.
Well, it's also because the whatever rally, like, and good for whatever teens got a bunch of people to buy tickets for the rally and then not show up, so it was empty. Like, that's, I think that's good. It's for petty reasons. For once, something he's doing, I think, is good, but for the wrong reasons that he's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because other countries are banning it. You can't have it. I don't know which government, like, you can't have it. Some government of jobs, you can't have it on your phone. The military, you can't have it on your phone. I don't know. Whatever the details are. Blah, blah, blah. It's over.
Yeah,
do what you want. Live your life. Try an open mic. Kiss another dude if you're a dude. Find out the world's ending.
Yeah, probably is. I watched two good movies this week. Enjoyed both of these. Watch this documentary called Shred.
Ooh.
You seen that?
No.
Shred. It's about that dude. I think this happened in 2004 in Colorado. Local small town Colorado, a lot of local business and neighbor disputes over zoning and property tax and, you know, small town politics. Dude flipped his shit, bought a huge bulldozer, decked it out Mad Max style, rampaged all over the city, knocking over buildings and shit, and then finally killed himself. But a pretty interesting documentary just about how, you know, small town politics can push people over the edge. This guy just lost his shit over some fairly petty stuff, squabbles, and just went ape shit.
If you want, I mean, like, just having a fence in your yard and shit, like here, we got just little things like that. And the homeowners association is getting into it. And a guy was going door to door and he just couldn't not stop talking about, like, we want these old because there is money and they're getting money, but then where's the money going? And so we want these new people in there because I've lived in this town. I'm like, I love it because this is gossip, but it has nothing to do with me. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll take it.
I do like drama that doesn't affect me.
Oh, yeah. That's it. Just like diet gossip.
Like when Katie argues with her sister, it's like, oh, I love seeing that side of you as long as it's not pointed at me.
Well, that does affect you, though. That's still someone you care about getting into it. I'm talking about like being in a restaurant and just hearing two people talk shit. I'm like, yeah. Give it to me.
But yeah, that movie was good. I saw another one last night, which was really good. I don't typically, this genre kind of bores me, the thriller, the not full-on horror, but the kind of thriller. I don't know, some of these like supernatural thrillers kind of bore me. I don't think this one didn't really have a supernatural twist to it, but it's called The Rental. And not to have a who's on first thing there, but it is a rental, but it's called The Rental. And I don't even, kind of a classic trope of a group of friends spending the weekend at a cabin. It wasn't a cabin per se, it was more like a Airbnb. Mm-hmm. This group of four friends go and spend a nice weekend up at this pretty sweet house on the Oregon coast. And I'll leave it at that. But like some really, really well done suspense and thriller. And holy shit, I didn't see that coming.
What's it called again?
Really enjoyed. It's called The Rental. And no huge names. Nobody I really known beforehand. But the acting, most of the acting was pretty good. And but just and the ending, if anybody's just like literally like the ending itself had a really good twist, and then they do reveal a couple little bitty nuggets while the credits are rolling. Mm-hmm. But yeah, very well done, The Rental. And I think if I'm not mistaken, I think this is I can never remember his name, but Franco, James Franco's brother, is that David Franco? Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, he directed it. He's not in it, but I think this is his movie.
I'm looking at it here, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So very well done. Very well done. Some twists and turns and some holy shit there at the end. But yeah, The Rental was solid. Tread was solid. Saw another one that I didn't care for that I thought it was. Well, I'll go ahead and say, what was this one? This one was called The Ritual.
Oh, I saw that one. That one was all right.
That had some boogie monster elements to it there. That monster was definitely something we've discussed before. I don't want to spoil anything for anybody, yeah. but that one just kind of, for me, fizzled out at the end. That's the example of why that genre bores me, but The Rental definitely delivered. So
I thought, I don't know. I think I watched that one late at night by myself, so it got me good enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah. The monster element to that was incredible, though. Like, that was pretty good.
We've just been watching that show alone around here. That's all we've been checking into.
Oh, you still watching that? I haven't seen that in a while.
People on Alone, I'll tell you. So, like, all right. Some of them, like, you are trained. You know, you were an Army Ranger, what have your background was. But some of these people, I'm like, you might just be like a very skilled psychopath to be able to just get through. Like one lady, like I get that you got to hunt and you got to kill a rabbit to like survive, but then you're by yourself with a camera and you decide to put your head into the rabbit's face skin and make a puppet out of it.
Oh boy.
Yeah, man. Oh boy's right. And the other guy, like it's this fine line between I don't want to spoil anything. They haven't gotten to the end yet, but like this one guy, he kills a whole musk ox. And now I shouldn't judge him. Whereas like you're supposed to use the whole animal. That's efficient and that's smart. But this guy's like,
he didn't do that?
No, he did, very much so, to the point he was using the scrotum of the muskox to hold the brains of the muskox and put together whatever metaphor you want about male T toxic masculinity there. But he's holding a bag of brains in a ball bag going like, oh, the brains are good. It's good lanolin. He's like tanning his gloves and he's like, it's moisturizing. He's rubbing his face with muskox brains that he got out of its ball bag. And I'm like, this is a lot right now. This is just, it reinforced the vegetarianism. I'll tell you that. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I bet.
It reinforced that part. Because I never had the Rocky Mountain. Have you ever had Rocky Mountain oysters?
Yeah, I've had.
Are they good?
It was, honestly, it was a, let me just choke this down to say I did it. You know, kind of like first time I ate regular oysters. Just, yeah. You know, suck it down, try not to taste it. But it was.
You don't like oysters?
I don't remember. No, I do now. Yeah. But when I was like a teenager, the first time I tried them, I was like, ew, gross. I'm just going to swallow it. I love them now. But yeah, it was just kind of a novelty. Like, sure, y'all got them. I'll eat them. But I didn't, you know, savor it or anything.
It is weird to think about how psychologically it's like, but it's the balls. Again, I made the jokes about it before, but it's like you already ate other parts. Mm-hmm. Why should any part of an animal be gross if you're willing to eat one part of it? If you're willing to eat one part, you should be willing to eat all the parts if they're edible and you can make them taste good.
Yeah, but I get psychologically, like eating the leg of a pig as opposed to its intestines.
But if you're, you know, there's definitely. Psychologically, you're such a man and a man's got to have a steak, then a man should be able to eat the balls off the same animal he got the steak from.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're afraid to eat the balls, but you'll eat a steak, you sound like a fucking baby to me. You sound like a little bitch, to be honest. You sound like a little bitch if you don't want to eat. How about this? Oh, I can't eat that. Or you think it's somehow gay. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't eat the balls. Oh, yeah. Well,
gross.
Did you eat the tongue out of the fucking male animal? Did you eat other parts of a male animal? Like,
that's funny. The guy who won't eat it because he's homophobic.
But that goes to the psychology of it. Mm-hmm. But it was a lot to see it happen where the guy's just holding the ball bag and there's just a little part of me. I'm like, I know what part of my body is that part. And it's weird to see how I know it's stretchy on me, but look how. He's like, well, it's already shaped like a pouch, so I'm going to use it as a pouch. I'm like, that makes sense, but you should say it with just a little bit more emotion. Maybe just a little bit more.
Yeah.
Maybe just not so nonchalantly like you found a fucking free pen on the sidewalk, you know? Oh, a pen. I could use this for writing, because that's what you use pens for. Like that was – he was gnarly. A gnarly dude.
What was his background?
I think he's just a fucking psycho. I think that's his background.
Yeah.
It's just a dude that's just been doing it. Like, I don't think there's any, I think just a guy who was like this and society gave him his distance. I don't feel like he was. You know, like, I got to leave society. I think he was in society, and society was like, man, maybe not you. Maybe 5 minutes of talking to you, and everybody's like, you seem like the kind of dude who would take the brains of a muskox out of a scrotum and rub them on your face. Like, they could tell that about him. And he's like, well, I may as well just go do that then. And he did, with efficiency, in a wonderful shelter. Got the bow and arrow, hunted the ox, and got it, and hauled the meat, like, he might win. I don't know what he's going to do with $1 million, though.
Why'd he put the brains in the ball sack? What's one got to do with the other?
Just to carry them. Keep them together. His brains are a little bit mushy. You ever eat brains?
Try to think. I feel like I have. I think I ate them on accident at a taco truck one time.
Oh, like, oops. Like, how'd you? Whoops.
Yeah,
man, this bowl's got teeth around the side of it. Oh no!
Yeah, Yeah, and that stuff, that doesn't do much for me. I've had chicken feet, and I've had tongue, and I don't know, man. Like, I'll eat all that when there's nothing else available. But right now, give me some pastores, some carnitas. Y'all can hang on to those brains.
Yeah, that's why the shrimp, I'm like, well, I'm not sucking out the brains of them, but you eat the whole shrimp for the most part. Mm-hmm. And that seems efficient.
Yeah.
But shrimp legs. Somebody just sell shrimp legs, little tiny slivers. Suck out the
shrimp legs.
They got legs.
Mm-hmm. That's, yeah. So they got a bunch of legs then, right?
That's what I mean.
Those are legs?
Yeah, you ever accidentally get peel and eat shrimp? Or like shrimp in a place where you get the whole thing, and you're like, man, this is not what I wanted to do today.
Yeah, it's a little effort. Same thing with like a crawfish boil. You know, it's a lot of work.
Yeah, I crawfish seem like
the head and pulling the tail.
Yeah, this seems like food that you eat because you have to, not because you want to.
Well, no, I'm not saying that. I love crawfish, like especially like crawfish tails, like a crawfish étouffée or something. I love that. But just eating a whole crawfish, it's a lot of work. You know, you suck the head, you pull the tail. It's just,
yeah. It's like I could, like, now I understand the price of lobster is I just don't want to put the work into crawfish. Just give me the big one. Give me the Costco crawfish, which is a lobster. It's all here. Have the whole thing.
Did you know back in the day, I don't know what day, but back in the day, lobster was not a delicacy. I saw some show they were talking about how like maybe in the Civil War, they fed the soldiers lobster and they were like annoyed, like, ugh, this shit again.
Well, and then that goes into how like how you can steer people just by perception and cost and, you know. Diamonds, nobody gives a fuck about diamonds except somebody decided that these were pure and the most important thing, and the effort to go through to get them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, yeah, lobster, they're bugs. They're bugs. They're deep sea bugs. Shrimp are deep sea bugs, which I have lightened my stance. I don't want to eat bugs, not yet.
Mm-hmm.
Been a little kinder to them, I'll say that.
Yeah,
just the sheer amount of spiders. I have a theory. I think the spiders, there's so many up here, and they're putting webs where I think they think they could just catch a person. I think spiders caught a person somewhere, and the word got out. And now they're like, oh fuck it, let's try.
Really?
I flung a dead fly into one of the webs, and it went at it right away. And then I think it was underneath the web. I didn't think it like realized it was dead. I don't know. I don't know if you've experienced this. Way more spiders in the world. Everywhere camping, it was just like, no, I just grab them. I just hold them and throw them outside of the tent now.
Yeah, spiders don't bother me.
It's part, I don't want to, like, okay, maybe I won't kill it. And part, like, then you just got a mashed bug on the wall.
I had a fly in my mouth last week. Just walking, just in the back, messing with the barbecue. And a fly went right into my mouth. And I'm like hacking up and spitting up.
I mean,
the neighbor,
if you need a,
like right in front of the neighbor's window.
If you need a reminder to brush your teeth or get a mint, I think that's it.
Yeah.
I think that's.
It flew right into like it hit my little tonsil bag and then flew back out. Yeah, it really caught me off guard.
I'm not going to say I might have bad breath, but a fly flew into my mouth last week. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it sucked.
It's fucking landed after that, man. Oh, God. Because they were like, oh, we'll take a break and get a bite to eat and record the next one. And now this is what we're going to leave on.
Yeah, that's how we do it.
Oh, Jesus. Let's do Comic of the Week.
Comic of the Week, our old pal Adam Caton Holland.
He's got a new album coming out this week.
I did the research. I couldn't find the name of it. I don't know. Do you know the title of his new album?
I don't know what it's called. It's.
I think as you're listening to this, I think it came out yesterday. I think it came out Monday. It's on Comedy Central Records. I don't know the name of it, but just look up Adam Caton Holland. I think this is. It's fourth, maybe his fourth album. But yeah, friend of the show, friend of both of ours. Denver dude. Had that book a couple years ago that, was intense, seemed to be quite a success.
It was great and very intense. And it's, his book's amazing. His comedy's great. He's a dear pal, one of the creators of Those Who Can't. And, it's Comedy Central Records. I don't know what the title is, but it's good old ACH, Adam Kane Holland, part of the Growlix out of Denver.
Part of that Growlix crew. Love Andrew and
Orvidal and Ben Roy crew. And just Denver, one of those scenes that just creates good comics. Comedy Works is a great club, and they're supportive of the local scene, which should show how important that is. Instead of pitting your club against the local scene, you should work with a local scene as a comedy club, and now you have one of the best clubs in the country, and great comedians who are loyal to you, as opposed to, man, you treated us like shit when we were here, and so now we don't give a fuck about your club.
Atlanta clubs.
Name a few of my own, but I don't have to name them. You know where I play when I go back to Chicago, and you know where I don't play. So, anyway. But that's, I'll say this, Lincoln Lodge is back. Well, they were. I don't know what the stipulation is going on there, but they were back up with social distance shows and everything. So, I don't know. I know they're and they're also a charitable. They're a non-profit. So if you need to go see some good comedy and don't want to go into a packed closed comedy club, you can go to Lincoln Lodge. Mark Geary, my pal for many years. Hopefully they're doing well. They just opened their own brick and mortar. It's a non-profit. They do good things. All right, buddy. Adam Kane Holland. It's out on Comedy Central Records. I wish I would have known the title of it, and I don't know why I don't, and I feel like a fucking jag-off right now.
Yeah, I tried to find. I couldn't figure it out. But you know, it's the new ACH. Just look that up, and you'll be fine. Hey, how was Hey Girl yesterday?
Oh, Hey Girl's always a fun old time.
Yeah,
yeah.
How was Martha Kelly? I'm a huge fan. I love her.
Yeah, she's great. She's just this dry, slow burn Martha Kelly. And because it's a video one, and she, the most Martha Kelly background of her house is just a cat tower and a wall mounted TV with the cords dangling down. And she's just the best. I've known her, like, I met her when she just started comedy. It was in a Comedy Central contest in Chicago at Zany's, which is a club that's in Chicago. And that was a. Yeah, we were both in that same contest almost 20 years ago, and she's just slow and steady wins the race.
Her role, her character on Baskets is a masterclass in comedic subtlety. She's so subtle, so soft-spoken, yet so funny. Just, I love
it. She rescued a dog, and it was a coyote. Great.
Yeah, and there's a running gag too. Unfortunately, they're not going to do any more seasons, but they did three seasons. Every episode that she, I think she's probably pretty much in every episode. She's a pretty big character, but every episode that she's in, every scene that she's in, she's got her arm is in a cast, and they never bring it up. Not once is it ever referenced, like, hey, what happened to your arm? But for 3 years, she's just in a cast, and oh man. She just crushes that role, and that got me to know her, and then I've since looked up her stand up and became a fan that way. But yeah, I just saw that you guys were doing that yesterday, and was like, kudos, man, big fan of her.
Yeah, no, she's great, always has been, always has just been this. I've never seen her break her cadence. Mm-hmm. I've never seen her voice get louder or break away from that pace and approach. And it's mesmerizing.
Yeah.
How you do? You got new Stonebergs out?
Stonebergs dropped yesterday. Stoneberg. We're taking a week off. Let me go ahead and mention this too. Yeah, we're Boogie Monster and Stonebergs both taking a week off because I'm going out of town for my birthday.
Because you had a little birthday.
I've never
Dave had a little birthday.
I've never been a big birthday guy, but it's just Katie is surprising me with a little getaway. We're going Got a little Airbnb up in a little mountain town that I've never heard of.
We know how that went last year, Dave, so let's just look at it. Huh?
I knew that was coming. But yeah, just going to get away for a few days. So next week, no Boogie Monster, no Stone.
Every year, Dave has to burn down a rental property on his birthday or else the demons rise up. People don't realize that you have to do it or else the demons rise up.
Oh, my God.
Some civilizations sacrifice babies. You just sacrifice a two-bedroom cabin that was just an extra piece of property for a wealthy individual.
Knock on wood.
That don't do anything to wood right now, Dave.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, man.
All right,
I hung
buddy.
Up on him. Oh, there you are. I thought
for some reason it's going in and out. I don't know what's going on.
That's all right. But yeah, so we're taking next week off. We will see you guys in 2 weeks. And yeah, man. Good catching up, buddy.
We prattle on. Yeah, compress this. Listen to this episode at a faster speed on the app. You'll get to and skip through us just being sad about politics that we're right to be angry, but also frustrated that we don't understand some of it.
Yeah. I've never done that. I should listen to a podcast on like 2x speed. I bet that's funny.
Here's a little trick. I'll listen to one on slightly slower if I'm trying to go to bed, because then it takes the tone of like a calming book on tape, but it's also a thing I want to listen to. And it's not too warped where they just sound drunk as shit.
Yeah.
It's just enough to like, okay, it's... You know, it's just, it's like not making your mind go as quick as it needs to catch up. So it's a little life hack, little easy life hack for you.
Okay. I'll try that. I got to try that. That'd be fun.
Ooh. All right, buddy. Let's have ourselves a lunch and record that Q&A, which we still do on Patreon.
Yeah, man.
If you want to get to the good stuff.
Yeah. Patreon.com/boogiemonster, $4 a month. So, yeah, man. All right, buddy. I'll see you in a couple weeks.
Yeah, man. Hey, happy birthday, buddy.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Holler at your boys.
The Boogie Monster.
A podcast network.